Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Kind of going along with the theme, as you know, this first Sunday of the month, this is a Sunday then that one of us elders teach, and we're teaching through Mark. So for the last month, I've been working through Mark chapter 4. But then with the events of the last 2 weeks, I kind of have adjusted it. And, you know, there's lots of us that have suffered loss. As I'm looking around this room, okay, hopefully we're okay now. If not, that's fine. As I'm looking around this room, I see certain people, and I think, you know, there's been some close friends, family that have passed away. And there might be some I don't even know about that you've had in your family or something. And it's a part of life that's not what's on my screen. It is from my computer. We're all going to hell, right? There's a fire. Watch out. Or that fire and brimstone. That's my favorite picture of my granddaughter. Anyway, so if we can't get it, that's fine. Where was I at? I know we've had some loss, whether it's this past couple weeks, past couple months, past couple years. And sometimes for many years, loss can affect us. So that's kind of, I'm going to start with Mark 4, but I'm going to add a few other scriptures, and we'll go from there. The title of my sermon, From Cradle to Grave, and that's, all right, why do I have my slide up there? See, I told you, technical difficulties. There we go. We'll get to that slide in a second. I don't want to mess with it now because it's up there, so we'll just leave it there. From cradle to grave and the in-between. The in-between is illustrated on a tombstone. How many of you have ever gone to the grave site, looked at somebody's tomb, and it says a year, 1940? Dash 19, or no, now 20,024. That's usually on the tombstone. Our life is represented on a tombstone by one little dash. We got the beginning year and the ending year, and there's the dash. Somebody wrote a poem called The Dash, and this is just a part of it. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved her know that little time, what that little time was worth. So when a part of our body here at church suffers, we all suffer. And that can be of deaths in your family. Some of here have had some serious surgeries. Some have children that they struggle with, adult children, relationships. Some of us struggle with siblings. On right now, today, this little part, and miss the whole beautiful forest. Don't miss the forest for the trees. And to get to this idea, I'm going to start in Mark 4 with the parable of the sower, which is our cradle. I said from cradle to grave and in between, that's the title. So the parable of the sower is the cradle. And then we're going to talk about Jesus' promise of a dwelling place. That's the grave. And then the in-between, our life in a dash right now. Take a look at the 23rd Psalm, what that can mean to us in our life here. So today we're going to look at three steps that cover our entire Christian faith, the cradle or the start, the grave or the end, and our life here on earth or the in-between. Cradle to grave and in-between. Looking at these three steps can help us focus on the big picture of life and not focus on just today. So first of all, see the big picture. The cradle to the grave and in between. Let's go to our scripture for today, or one of them, Mark chapter 4. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. The whole crowd was by the sea on the land. He was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil, and after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. The other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop producing 30, 60, and 100-fold. He who has an ear, let him hear." As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way are the ones to whom the seed is sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary then. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, they immediately fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom the seed has sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60, and 100-fold. This is the parable of the soils, and this parable of the soils is the start of our Christian life. And in it, we have the farmer, the seed, and the soil. Who's the farmer? Jesus did not tell us in the explanation. By the way, it's kind of odd for me to have the parable of the sower given by Jesus, and Jesus explains it. Now I'm supposed to explain it more? I'm going to try to just stick to what it says. But Jesus didn't tell us who the farmer was, and I want to say historically, when he told this parable, he was the farmer. He was spreading the word. But I also want to say, in a few years at Pentecost, the apostles became the farmer. And the book of Acts is about farmers spreading the word. And then today, we are farmers. We have the opportunity, the privilege, and the responsibility to be spreading the word to those around us. And we need to be sowing it to people. Now, one interesting thing about this farmer is where he sows his seed. Anybody in here did a lot of farming or grew up on a farm or was very acquainted to farming? Few, okay. Seed corn, which, by the way, Constantine, Michigan is the capital of the world of seed corn. Didn't know that. That's your trivia. You go up there, 131, it says right there, world capital of seed corn. Anyway, if you buy expensive seed corn and you go to a farmer, now Don Luckleitner was a farmer, he would not take that seed corn and throw it on his driveway on a hard path. He would not take it to the weedy part and throw some there. But this farmer does. What does that tell us? This tells us God is merciful. He doesn't just go to the people that are going to become saved and give just them some seed. He spreads it to everyone. And a part of this is, I picture, believe, every one of us in this room at first was the path or the rocky places. How many people, the first time they ever hear about Jesus, become soil and rooted and become a Christian? A lot of us heard it many times growing up. Or maybe we weren't Christians and some people witnessed to us and we said, yeah. And then down the road, somebody else witnessed, well, maybe. And then somebody else witnesses to you and you begin to take an interest and you ask Jesus to save you. So Jesus throws the seed, the farmer here throws the seed everywhere. Now, if we are farmers today, what does that tell us about sowing the truth about God? Give it to everybody. Now, I'm not talking narrowly just preaching the gospel to everyone, which is the big part of it, but also service, loving people, meeting their needs. We need to be spreading the word to everybody. And there's some people, we had a person mention that there's somebody in their life that they're just cold to the word. They're cold to Jesus, to church, to the gospel. They're the path. That doesn't mean we stop spreading. Spread the seed. You be a farmer and spread the seed no matter what kind of reception the person around you has. And our seed can be sowed verbally, sharing the message that Jesus died for our sins and we can be saved and have eternal life in him. There might be some people in here this morning that are seed or rocky places. Listen to what God says. And this is the time to become good soil. Accept the seed and let it take root in you. And we can also sow the seed to others by serving and helping them. Now, the seed is the Greek word logos. It has a very large meaning. It means much more than just a verbal word. But it does mean that. Plus, it means much, much more. We can show other people love and concern and be spreading the word. The word is the truth of God. So we have the farmer, which Jesus was a farmer. We need to be a farmer, spreading our seed to everybody. And the seed is God's word. And the soil illustrates what can happen with that seed. And it depends on the soil that it falls on. There's four results, if you remember. It can be ate up, meaning Satan takes it away. That seed could be scorched and withers. It can grow, but does not produce a crop because of the thorns choking it out. Or it produces a crop. The path is the first type of soil Jesus mentioned. And the verse says, these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word that has been sown to them. And again, might I suggest that we were all path kind of people at one point and didn't have an interest in God's word. We've had several people pass away, and we've had spouses and people that were a part of this church. And we, those that were Christians, were the rocky path or the hard path or the rocky soil. But at some point, the grace of God came and turned their hearts into good soil, and they became a crop. In our lives, Do not give up on those in your life that are acting like the path. Satan's taking the word away every time you speak it to him. But keep speaking it to him. Keep loving them. Don't pound them on the head with it. Keep loving them, letting them know the truth. And at some point, God might turn their heart to good soil. And that seed will take root, and they will become Christians. God can change any heart, so keep sowing. Or if you are a person today, here today, that is not a believer and doesn't really like the things of God, doesn't have any interest, please consider accepting God as your Savior today. So the first soil is the hard path. The second is the rocky place. That's the second soil. And the verse says, "And after the sun has risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away." The second soil had no preparation. The sun came up. Now, is the sun coming up and getting on a plant good or bad? I got a thumbs up over here. How many of you tried to plant a plant in the basement in the dark? Doesn't do much good. Nothing wrong with the sun coming up on the plants, but the sun represents trouble and persecution. May I suggest that anybody that believes in God will have trouble and persecution, which is the sun shining on them, but some, like the ones with no root, makes them wither and fall away. Others, it helps them grow. Trouble and persecution can help us grow. So the sun is their cause, and it's because of the word, and it makes them fall away. We could get into the deep theology of this. Were they Christians and fell away, or were they never Christians? My point in that theology question is, what really only matters is right now. Are they Christians now? Were they Christians and fell away, or are they just not Christians? Either way, they need the Lord right now. That's what we need to remember for those people. So these people, they agree with the word. They like God. They're not antagonistic. We just had an example this morning shared in Sunday school where, yeah, I'm good. I believe God. I believe the Bible, but I don't need to go to church, or I don't need to be involved. I don't need to serve. But I do believe in God. That might be these people on the rocky soil that don't have any root and turn away. If you're a person that's a rocky soil kind of person, ask Jesus to make you into good soil. That's what we all want. Third is the thorny soil. And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes fruitless. I picture this as ground that was ready to receive the word. It was fertile ground. But as that word grew and the plants grew, thorns grew, and the thorns were never taken care of, and it grew up together with the good plants, and the good plants never produced any kind of crop. And it's interesting that it is worries. A thorn in your life can be worry. And it's the deceitfulness of riches. Now, it's not riches. Some people in here have more money. Some people have lesser money. It's not what the scale you're on. It's the deceitfulness. Many people think, if only I had a little more money. If only I had the nicer car. If only I had the boat to go to the lake with. Then I would be happy. I'd be fulfilled, and life would be better. That's the deceitfulness of riches. One thing I've noticed in my life, when I go to the gas station and people are buying their lottery tickets, which I don't know if you buy lottery tickets or not, I'm not. Often my observation is those people look like they don't have lots of money to begin with. I'm just saying that. He just doesn't look like he has, or she doesn't look like she has lots of money, but they're buying the lottery ticket. I'm thinking, what a bad investment. But that's the deceit. If I win this lottery, yee-haw, life will be wonderful. I'll have it all. That's the deceitfulness of riches. We all contend with thorns in our lives. Keep them weeded out. Don't let worries come in. Don't let the deceitfulness of riches. Or he also mentions the desires for other things that are for things that are not from Jesus. Don't allow them to grow in your life. You know, living a Christian life among the thorns is kind of miserable. It's kind of miserable. Don't find yourself in that position. When I go out in my woods sometimes, there's a thorn bush. I call it a bramble bush. I don't know if that's even the right word. I hate those things. If you walk into them, they're literally so strong and sharp and pointed, you can't walk through them. They grab your clothes so hard, you can't. I mean, I have Carhartts on, you know, and I'm trying to rip through. Or they get your hat. There's your hat back there. Those thorns are just awful. Fact is, when I'm cutting firewood back in my woods and I run into one of those, I take the chainsaw to it. Take that thing right down, because they grow up into a big bush. Don't live among the thorns. Don't live among the thorns. They'll take away all of your potential for crop and good deeds and work. The final soil is the good soil. And those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. You know you're in good soil because you bear fruit or a crop. This is seen in Christian character and maturity. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. Somebody that's in the good soil will demonstrate those. And secondly, they'll demonstrate it by sharing the gospel with others. These people, we begin to love the things Jesus loved, see the world the way Jesus saw it, treat people the way Jesus treated them. The cross is not just our hope, but our ethic. So we become people who live cross-centered as we love and honor one another in the contents of family, in the family of faith, and how we speak of one another, how we support one another, how we pray for one another inside the body of Christ, and then how we move out together and join in the mission of God's salvation. Now, if you're in the good soil, it's interesting that Jesus mentions there's three levels of productivity. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but Jesus also talked about the talents, and it's a fact that as Christians, there's different level of productivity, different levels of maturity, different levels of gifts and giftings and responsibilities. So one thing I want to say, if you're living your Christian life and you think you're a 30 level person rather than 60 or 100, I'm only a 30, that is fine. Do what God gave you to do to the best of your ability. If it's what somebody might say, oh, that's a menial task here in the church or visitation or doing, do it. Don't put your eyes on the 100 level people and say, oh, well, no, everybody has a job. We do whatever God has gifted us to do and called us to do, and we do it well. So be living in the good soil. Now, when we talk about that, the parable of the sower, that's the cradle. That's the beginning of our Christian life. When you hear the word and it takes root. When you hear the word and it takes root. I want to move on to a portion of Scripture in John, the grave. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way I am going. If there is someone in the parable of the sower that is a path or rocky place, they're not going to get to here. I hate to say it, but though their destination is hell. That's the fact of Scripture. But if you have accepted Jesus and let Him take root in your life and your good soil, we have this promise. Heaven is the place Christians go after the grave. On Wednesday morning, Jesus Himself came and received Denise. I believe it's theologically sound that Jesus comes down and takes a hand. That's our hope. That is our hope. That's the grave, the end. Now, maybe not theologically sound. Maybe Denise is sitting in her house. I don't know if she was a coffee drinker or not. But waiting for some coffee and conversation from us, her fellow church family. Someday we'll be up there. And we'll be a part of that. I picture Jesus as knowing everyone personally and coming down and taking them to heaven. My wife tells a story of her mother-in-law a few hours before death, her jaw was locked open. And some of you who've been around people that, I guess that's a common, but just minutes before she died, sitting in bed, she looked up in the corner, got a big smile, her jaw loosened, and then she was gone. I think that's the hope for all of us as Christians. That's the hope for all of us that have let the word soak into your heart. In my experience, a lot of you in here know Omer Hostetler. He lived at Hunter Lake, and I worked and went kind of by his house on my way home. And that fall, I got to the habit of stopping in and seeing him. He loved IU, I love IU. And we wouldn't talk deep spiritual, but we had good times of talking. And then I kind of got away from it, I think in the winter. And then I come one day and here he's passed away. That really made me feel bad that I didn't keep up with visiting him as much as I should. But he's another one that we know is up there in heaven. And I look forward to seeing him. I had another friend that was at work, and we'd met at work, but he ended up being a good friend. He'd come to my office, shut the door, and we'd have some talks and stuff. Well, he was a muscle car guy. So I picture him in heaven with a garage. And in there is some muscle car. That's silly, but heaven is going to be a great place. Amen. To meet, connect with Jesus, first of all, and all the other believers. And so, from cradle to grave, we don't have to worry about the grave. It holds nothing against us. Don't worry about the grave. Then the in-between, that dash between the birth date, birth year, and the year the guy dies on the tombstone. What about that dash? Why we live on earth, and sometimes we have some tough times. Some of you have had special people pass away. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When we often hear this psalm at a funeral, and we hear about the valley of the shadow of death, and there's the person in the casket, I don't think it applies to them. They're already way past that. But for us, we are sometimes in a shadow. Sometimes it's a pretty black shadow, pretty gray shadow, because this person has passed away. But God is with us in all of that, even when we pass through the shadow of death. Those that have passed on are in heaven and enjoying worship, song, Jesus, all the things, and have the gold. I might have told this story before. I'm too old, but I still try to play basketball in the mornings, but I got to quit. I just can't do it. Most of the guys are not Christians. So I'm thinking of, I don't know if I'll ever pull this off. You can pray I do, to see if I can get them to come together for 2 minutes. And my message to them is going to be, I'll probably beat you guys all to heaven because I'm old. You're young. But I'm going to be on the gold basketball court up there waiting for you. Make sure when God calls your name, make sure when you hear, make sure when the seed is sown in your life, you accept it. That's the only way to get up there. So, that's where those that have passed on are in heaven enjoying it. Psalm 23 is for us that are here on earth. And it says, Jesus is the shepherd, and he promises this. He will make us lie down in green pastures. Anybody ever lay down on a stubby, dry lawn that hasn't had any rain or water for a while? It's pokey and prickly and not comfortable. He's going to make us lie down in green pastures, lead us beside still waters, restore our souls, lead us in paths of righteousness. He is with us. He comforts us. He anoints us with oil. His promise to us is this: surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whatever you're facing today, don't miss the forest for the trees. Remember, at the end, we win. God calls us to heaven. And why we're here? He's our good shepherd that's going to lead us through any trouble, trial, temptation, anything we have. The cradle of our faith is the Word of God taking root in our life. The grave of our faith is Jesus receiving us into heaven. Our life of faith in this world is led by our good shepherd. Jesus is our good shepherd, and as we live between the cradle and the grave. So, remember these three steps, and don't miss the forest for the trees in whatever you're going through today. Don't miss the forest for the trees. Let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.